Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
But now, friends, the moment you have been waiting for. The unveiling of the new host of Open House. Here's the credentials. His media career started around 1973, when, working as an office boy at a radio station, he curiously poked his head into the doorway of the newsroom, and in his words, it was love at first sight. He quickly got himself a cadetship in that very newsroom, and so began a life of journalism that has spanned nearly four decades now. He's met the Queen. He was there for the sacking of Prime Minister Gough Whitlam. He's been an Olympic correspondent. He's been a European correspondent. He has reported on tens of thousands of stories, from American presidential politics to the death of John Lennon, to the September 11 attacks, to, friends, to one of his greatest stories of all time, hedgehog-flavoured potato chips. It's in the script. You will probably know him best as a newsreader, first with Channel 7 and most recently with Sky News Australia. And now you're about to know him as the new host of Open House. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome journalist, broadcaster, author, Lee Hatcher. Also a husband, a father, and in your own words, a yet-to-be-discovered rock star.
Yeah, that'd be good, wouldn't it?
That would be good.
That's my vicarious life, but it's still to be fulfilled.
Yes.
We'll see.
Into the jazz guitar,
sure,
I
apologise for not being Carl Sandilands. Carl Sandilands.
Let's move on. You know, what I failed to mention in that most illustrious intro there was the fact that your very first story was really quite a dramatic story indeed. You filed for the assassination of JFK.
Well,
how old were you?
Yeah, that's... I was eight. So I'm not that old. Yeah, I was asked over the last couple of weeks, did you have any kind of early inklings of journalism? And I thought initially, well, no, I didn't actually, because that moment in the 2GB newsroom where I just was captivated was the first time that I think that I got the journalism bug. But then I thought, well, when I was eight, our primary school teacher in second class, Mrs. Cooper, got us to write a composition on the assassination that just happened of JFK. And it was a very powerful memory for me, and it's stuck with me to this day.
Right, from an eight-year-old, you were born. Yes. You were born,
I was born
for what you've actually done, yeah. And what a career it's actually been. I want to talk about some of those highlights of the journalistic side of your career. You've also been a man who's been acquainted with pain. We'll talk about that as well. I do want to know how you were feeling when you got that first phone call that started to discuss the whole possibility of this very role.
Yeah, well, it was an email, because that's what we do these days, and it was just a catch-up. And I thought, oh, that's interesting, and it was the station manager, and we went for a coffee, and he said, and this is only about 6 weeks ago, so this, let me tell you, has been a whirlwind. He said, Sheridan's sadly leaving, and I was really shocked, actually, after all these years, and he said, we'd really like you to consider taking over Open House. And I was sent reeling, with delight, actually, I must say. It's a good start. The first quarter of my career was in radio, and the rest has been television. But I never lost my love of radio. I've said to lots of my friends over the years and people in my industry, my first love has always been radio, for there is nothing like it. Though a lot of radio has gone through some tough times over the last couple of decades, there is nothing like radio to connect with an audience and be personal. And especially tell stories. Mm. And this I speak as a newsreader who delivers stories, you know, for hours a day on Sky News. But to connect with people where they are and to speak to them, there is still nothing like radio. Mm. Sadly, I still think that in television, for all of its wonderful and high-profile kind of stuff, there is still a great distance between you as a newsreader or performer or whatever on television and the audience. And yet my time in radio, I did a breakfast program many years ago in Adelaide. You do feel like you're part of their family. And that's exactly what's happened with you and Open House. And you just heard some of the grabs tonight of people who know you and are friends with you and are personal with you. You're not crying.
No. Everybody's crying, mate.
As we started to talk over that coffee, I was just reeling in my mind. I thought, this is an amazing thing. At this particular time in my life and in my career, what a joy and what a challenge this will be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's going to be a joy. I can tell you that for sure. It really is. It's going to be a joy. It's going to be a challenge.
Yep.
It's going to be jolly well reading books like, what was it called again? Philosophical Foundations for the Christian Worldview.
I nearly had second thoughts, but now I think, press on.
I'll find a second copy for you.
Thanks.
And you can read that.
Thanks, Cara.
Let's talk about some of those moments over the last few years, meeting the Queen.
Yeah, it was in Government House in probably, I think, about 1975 or 1976. And I got the call in the afternoon that there's this reception on at Government House and the Queen would like to meet members of the press gallery. I don't know whether she would like to meet them, but she felt probably obliged to meet them, the reptiles of the press gallery. So I tore over Government House in my little red mini. And it was this most amazing thing to meet the Queen. Mm. One of the things I most remember is the military type-like precision that she would be ushered around, and there'd be this kind of semicircle of officials formed, and she'd come in the middle, and you'd have your kind of little chat about the weather, and then she'd move on to another little semicircle. It was amazing and privileged kind of experience. Mm.
Now, the sacking of Gough Whitlam, there is a famous photo, friends, and you've all seen it. And it's the photo of Gough Whitlam up there at the podium delivering his famous speech after he was sacked. And you look down the bottom left-hand corner.
It's my only claim to fame.
And there's Lee Hadjo, a very bearded,
yeah, you won't recognise me because there's much more hair on that face and head than there is today. But there down the front is this kind of bearded, ruffled, and quite overwhelmed young radio reporter, all of 20 years old. So, yeah, that was a great moment. Though I don't think that I ever really got the significance of the moment, though I knew it was big, until 10 years later when a mate of mine wrote a story, not knowing it was me, he wrote a story on this famous photo, blocked out Gough's face and David Smith, the Governor-General's secretary, who was announcing the proclamation of the dissolution of the Parliament. And the story was on the front page of the Good Weekend, who are these people and where are they now? And one was me. And he was completely stumped about who this bearded guy was down the front. And another friend of mine in the gallery said, you idiot, it's Lee. And when that came on the Good Weekend, I thought, wow, that really was a moment. And now I get radio stations and television stations and newspapers interviewing me every 10 years. Yeah, that...
The moment comes around.
Yeah.
And also, we've got to cover this one, hedgehog flavoured chips. I mean,
that was huge.
It was huge?
Yeah.
Yeah. Touch you?
It was one of the weightier tasks of me being the foreign correspondent, the European correspondent of the Seven Network in the early to mid-80s. So we did lots of stories, you know, the terrorism, the riots and all the rest of it. And my producer just came up with this story. Little hedgehogs were... sorry to say, only known as roadkill over in the UK. And some mad dog Englishman had come up with this new quite kind of quirky brand, hedgehog-flavoured chips. I don't know whether they really taste like hedgehogs, but they tasted pretty good.
Well, we've just been... Where's John Kassimer from the Gruen Transfer? What's the psychology behind that kind of brand? Fascinating.
Probably open very house. Serious, actually.
Open House is what you're listening to, and Lee Hatcher is your new host, and we're just having a little bit of a chat to him now. Some people will know of your wrestle with chronic fatigue syndrome.
Yes. Yeah.
You wrote a whole book about it, actually.
In fact, I was on your programme about 2 or 3 years ago.
I interviewed him.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very spooky.
Yes.
It's very spooky indeed.
Yeah.
Just recap that season briefly.
Oh, yeah, very, very quickly. Middle of my summer holidays, 1998, at the beach, came down with an everyday virus that anyone could contract, and cut a long and torturous story short. It began for me 2 years in the midst of chronic fatigue syndrome. I was at the time a high-profile journalist, chief Olympic correspondent of the Seven Network, lost my job. I was in the midst of a packed out speaking ministry at churches around the place. Lost all that, lost lots of things during that. And thank God, emerged some 2.25 years later.
It's a long time.
Yeah,
long, 2.25.
It's a long time of not only illness and great physical suffering, but also unemployment. And I still think, well, surely that's another person, actually. I spent most of my career reporting monthly ad nauseum on the unemployment figures, and I've still got to pinch myself to think, yeah, that was you who lost your employment for 2 years. It was a terrible time and lots of loss, but lots of gain as well.
What were those gains?
Well, I think anybody who's been through tough stuff, there will be moments, and I'm not saying, you know, this is a Pollyanna view of suffering, but there are moments where you think this is a character building experience at the very least. In my faith especially, I've said in my book, I grew up in my faith. I notwithstanding the previous year, I'd taken off full-time work and gone and done some full-time theological education. So notwithstanding all that kind of stuff and a lot of head knowledge, I actually believed in God, because as we went through this journey of great loss but great character building together, I believed because I knew he was true. And it's very different from believing because somebody's preached it at you or you read a book that says it's the truth. And I grew up in my faith. And I've said in a press release about this moment, I'm so glad this moment's over, actually, that it's now out there. I've said that so much of my life and my faith, and that includes especially that journey and my career, I think it comes to fruition, comes to a completion in this great and challenging and weighty task hosting Open House. I think a lot of my comrades, or a few of my comrades in my other world, might scratch their heads and say, huh?
What are you doing?
But I really do think that, without going overboard, I think the life, the faith, and the work just so comes together in this great and privileged opportunity.
Well, yeah. I'm going to be looking forward to listening. I really am going to be looking forward to listening.
I'll say this, my friend. You have got big shoes to fill. I've got big shoes to fill. You have... we have had lots of talks over the last month or so as we've been working this whole thing through, and I want to pay officially a formal tribute to the amazing work that you've done on this and the incredibly solid foundation that you have built from that first seed on the Brisbane River that you spoke of before. It is an amazing and unique show in broadcasting that you can incorporate faith, as we've seen in the interview with John and the other guys. You can incorporate authentic faith, have a bit of fun along the way, and talk to some really interesting people. And I think what a privilege that will be to take that on, but only because under God you have built such a wonderful foundation for this program.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Well, I'm so looking forward to listening in to what the new season of Open House is going to be. Just one final question, my friend.
Yes.
Consider Open House the protected daughter. Consider me its father.
Oh, dear.
What are your intentions?
Is there a gun in the house?
What are your intentions with my little girl?
I'll be good to her.
Seriously, any plans?
Yeah, lots of plans. The first thing I'd say is this. After nearly four decades in media, broadcast media, I've learnt the wisdom of consistency, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So there'll be lots of Open House that just remains exactly the same, though with a new person. And, you know, you can't help, I can't help bringing our own particular kind of quirks and personalities and character to that.
Some of us have a few quirks.
Yeah, that's right. Couple of new things. I have been hounded for all my journalistic career by people, especially within the Christian community, justifiably saying, why is the news always so bad? And I have an answer to that, which we'll explore as Open House goes down the track. But one kind of idea that I've had for a long time is to have a segment on a program like this that I never thought I'd get, to say, now the good news. I don't want it to be some kind of syrupy goody two-shoes kind of thing. But it strikes me, and I know this, good things happen to people all the time. And there are great stories out there. And just to kind of turn the tide back of the other kind of job that I do, I think I'm kind of just throw it back to people and say, tell me your stories. We've got stories already, great stories to tell. So that's one idea. The other idea I've had for years and years, and that is called the human condition. A marvellous woman with whom we'll be exploring every aspect of what it is to be human and the human character and the human condition, and that's a very exciting thing. Mm-hmm. I'm also very excited that on the first night, John Dixon, the great John Dixon, has agreed to begin an 8-week series for us on Open House. We're launching, as of tonight, a new Facebook page as well, called Open House Community. For you have built such a community, and it is my fierce determination to just keep on building that across multiple platforms. I became a twit about 3 days ago.
So I got my first tweet from this twit Friday night.
So on the way home in the car tonight, I'm going to just go. I'm honoured and privileged to be finally named the new host.
Well, Lee Hatcher, it's going to be good.
Thank you, sir.
You're coming back in just a few moments' time, actually. We'll hear from Lee a little bit more before the night is out. But would you please give a rousing welcome to your new host of Open House, Lee Hatcher.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast, thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.